This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is Enterprise BizBytes. Today, I'm joined in the studio by
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
If you want to get in touch with the show at any time today before 1 o'clock, get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. And of course, if you want to drop us a WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Quickly running you through the stories we're covering today. Jeff will be starting off in just a couple of minutes about how far Google's AI has come. We'll then be following up about some Pixel Buds that you might want to get your tasty hands on.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Also, my cyber sale, that's a big thing coming up very
huge.
Soon.
That's where my money's going to go.
Is it all of it?
Most of it. Well, not much. I don't have much. Whatever I have.
The bills
as much as you can spare, I guess, right?
Then we have a story about a Stranger Things kind of tie-in with a pretend NES and a few other bits and pieces before the new season arrives very shortly. And then we'll be finishing up with a little story that I really like about this thing called Snotbot.
Yeah, but before that, though, so AI, right? Mm. We always talk about AI and how, you know, Elon Musk always says that, oh, AI is going to, you know, kill us humanity. It's going to end civilization.
As we know it.
Great.
But there is a problem. Apparently, AIs are not smart enough. They're not smarter than a 6-year grade student in the US.
Oh.
That's according to a new research which is written by a trio of Chinese researchers, including the deputy director of the Chinese Academy of Science Research Center and the fictitious economy and data science.
See, that was the fictitious economy was something that kind of
caught my mind.
I know. It's a very interesting title.
Yeah.
I would love to speak to this guy and talk to him more about his title and what does he do. But going back to the study, though, apparently Google's artificial intelligence, the technology itself, it doesn't have much of a higher IQ than Apple's, Siri or even, you know, Microsoft Cortana. And if you compare it to a human, it says that, you know, Google's AI has an IQ of about 47.28. It came out ahead of the Chinese search engine Baidu, which is 32.92, and Microsoft Bing at 31.98. And it had almost double the IQ of Siri, which is 23.94. Mm. But a 6-year-old IQ general in the US, it's around 55.5. And, you know, an 18-year-old is about 97. So AI, as we speak, is not as intelligent than a 6-year-old or an 18-year-old.
If you put it into IQ,
measuring the IQ levels of an AI, it's basically rubbish. An AI is not as, you know, it's not as smart as us humans.
This is my question. How did they do this? How? Because IQ tests, right, are those, you know, you have all those, like, the shapes and things and trying to make. So did they just give all these AIs and IQ tests? And
so that's
they,
the thing as well, so which right. is very interesting to see. You know, they probably gave Google Siri and you know, Google's assistant, Google's AI, Apple Siri and Microsoft Bing a set of questions that, you know, they can, you know, obviously answer immediately. And then some of them they probably got wrong, and that's why, you know, you push it down. But the thing with AI, which I still believe, this is not like, yay, we are safe and, you know, AI is not going to take over us because they are not as smart as us humans. We are wrong because they're only going to get smarter.
That's what I was going to say.
Because it's only a matter of time. It's AI comes from what we teach AI. Of course, we've not been teaching them IQ tests because, honestly, really? Mm. IQ test determines your intellectual, you know, levels of smart. No, I don't think so. AI itself will be a lot more smarter in us humans in that one particular era because we are so focused on, like, we need to solve this one problem. Let's develop an AI to solve that one problem. And then later on, when it becomes an entire different thing, then we find, like, oh, you know, humans are a problem. Let's create an AI that's a human. Bang, you have that one killer robot then.
Okay, two things there that immediately spring to mind. First of all, an IQ test is something that you can take over and over and over again.
Yes.
And you can get smarter and smarter and smarter.
It's a test.
Right. Also, you've got the IQs of a 6-year-old at 55.5, right? How long really has AI been in development? It's around 6 years, right?
Yes.
So then we then look at the next figure, which is 18-year-old at 97.
It's going to surpass that.
So that's 12 years difference.
It's going to surpass that.
Of course. Yeah. You know,
In fact, actually, to be honest with you, it can surpass it now. It could be the most ever IQ. We could, like, you know, a billion IQ points if you want to, if there's ever such a thing. It could do it because It just requires someone to teach the AI to do it, and he would do it. Yeah. It's like just a simple click and go.
Exactly, and done. It's once. It has to do it once.
Done. Yeah. We've seen it. How you know it's does competitions like the AlphaGo, for example.
That was incredible.
Mm-hmm. So that itself kind of shows that it's not just about IQ. Yes, granted, on a test, it would not do as well as humans because it's never meant to do tests like this. If it was trained to do a test, then yes, we would get it. But it was trained to understand AlphaGo, which is one of the most complex game ever.
And has a certain set of rules.
But the way it just destroyed the human player in AlphaGo will send shivers down your spine if you see how it's, you know, if you see the game, if you just see the highlights, don't watch the whole game. It's way too long. You would just fall asleep because you have no idea what's going on. Just watch the highlights and then it will send shivers down your spine. It's just, it's one of those things where, again, I can see why Google and Apple and Microsoft, they declined to comment about the study because for them, they'd be like, we got better things to do.
And also, let's just clarify that IQ tests are not the be-all and end-all of measuring people's intelligence in the first place, or machines' intelligence, I guess. So, you know, I don't know how much this study is really telling us. And as we've said already, AI will only continue to learn and grow. So, yeah.
I think this is one of those pieces for like you say, for the not quite the Elon Musks of the world, but the people who are scared about AI taking over the world. This is just the kind of reminder, you know, hey, they're not that smart yet.
I think it's just more of like, hey, listen, AI is not going to kill you. It's because, you know, they're not as smart as us humans. Mm. But deep down inside, I'm sure the researcher also know that, you know, AI, at the end of the day, it's going to be better than us humans. And I will be doing a story with Matt Armitage for tomorrow's Geek Squawks about, in the future, we may be worshipping AI as a god.
Well, there you go.
I noticed at the end of the story that Google declined to comment.
Yeah, I could see why. It's like they probably just you got better things to do.
Exactly. But let's stick with Google. Christine, move us on to story number two about the Google AirPod competitor with a special feature they've got.
Yeah, okay. So I'm really, really excited about this because just to put it into context, anyone who's either read or seen A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy will know of this little thing called the Babblefish, which is a fictitious little alien fish you shove in your ear and suddenly you understand every single language ever in the history of the universe.
There actually used to be a website before Google Translate of Babblefish.
By Alta Vista, I believe, right?
Called
Babblefish, which was a translation service. But we are one step closer to not having to put gross fish in our ears because Google has released a set of wireless earbuds called Pixel Buds intended to work with the newest Pixel phones and phones running Android Nougat or newer, which have Google Assistant built in and you know, basic kind of wireless earphone stuff, can alert you to notifications, can answer questions, blah, blah, blah.
There's all the normal stuff. All the normal stuff.
It looks like you have a nickel in your ears.
It has 5 hours listening time, whatever. But the point is, right, is that it actually has a live language translation feature. And this is actually demoed because Google has done this whole thing where they've released so much stuff and announced so much stuff. And during the demonstration, they actually had a conversation on stage translating from English to Swedish without a hitch.
Yeah.
And you know, go find the video and see it for yourself because it is incredible. So basically what happened was the person who was speaking Swedish had a Pixel Bud in and then there was a person who was speaking English and they were just having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And every time something needed to be translated, the Pixel Bud was activated.
It's about a bit second delay as well. If you watched a video, me and Christine discussed this afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, the questions that were asked and the responses that were given, they're fairly simple, fairly straightforward stuff. But if you're in a foreign country, they're the kinds of questions that you'd be asking anyway.
Yeah.
You know, really straightforward. Where's the toilet? Yeah. Where's the hotel? Where's the, you know.
I mean, the important thing as well to remember about this is that the demo was done entirely over the internet. So you don't have to even download the languages to your device like you would have to use on your Google Translate app as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? So there are a couple of questions that I have here. Because first of all, so cool. But second of all, what happens when you take a language that is even like that is further away from English, right? So like we were talking about this, I think, off air in terms of like Chinese, for example, Mandarin Chinese. It sounds completely different. The grammar is completely different. Like, how is Google Translate, as we know, generally as a translation device, doesn't tend to take grammar into consideration, which leads to a lot of funny Google Translate mistranslations and stuff like that. So how will it take that into account? You know, how is this technology going to develop further? Because if it does, this is game changing.
Yeah, but for me though, I'm looking at this and I just go, oh, I'm so sorry for all the startups who are working on the projects like these. There are tons of startups who are working with, you know, live translation models, whether it's a platform, whether it's a device, whether it's a software. There are thousands of companies who are looking at this and trying to crack this. And then you get the Godzilla of Google just coming in and just bang, here we go. This is our product. No one saw this coming, by the way. No one saw this coming. This was a complete surprise. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. But if I'm a startup working on in a field of live translation, which I've interviewed a guy from who created Travis, which is the most successful Kickstarter project when it comes to hardware for translation, for audio translation.
Right.
It's a piece of device that you carry. It kind of looks like one of those Star Trek translator thingy where, you know, you just hold up the device, you talk to it in English, and then it translates automatically into other like 40 different languages that you want to, and then it does the same vice versa. Great stuff. A lot of people invested into it, a lot of backers go into this, and then now you get Google, who's just obviously, you know, Google with the power that they have. They've not only like crushed all the small little startups that have here, they've even gone down with the price as well, because the price for a lot of these live translation tools, they cost from like $150 to, you know, $300. Google comes in with this, you know, with this pods, with this buds, and it's like, what, $160?
Yeah,
but then you have to have the Pixel 2 as well for it to work.
That's
Granted, you got to have the Pixel 2, but what's stopping Google next year around? You do know that this first product, it's not going to work as, you know, how they demonstrated. It's going to be, you know, probably rubbish, right?
It's a public beta test.
But that is the whole point, because there are a lot of people who are going to the pre-order for the Pixel 2 XL is sold out. Okay, yeah. So there are a lot of people buying the Pixel 2. And there will be a lot of people who buy the Pixel 2 and look at it and go like, ooh, it's actually a really nice upgrade. Because instead of getting one of those wireless AirPods, if you were an Apple user and you would like, why would I want to buy the AirPods, right? Because there's no additional feature other than you cut off the wires. But for this, there is a reason why I would spend $160, because it is cool. I could travel around to Germany and I could, you know, just be one of the locals. I could, you know, pretend to be one of the locals, at least like you mentioned, where's the toilet? You know, is my room clean? Can ask the basic questions. But it's so sad to see the amount of people and effort that, you know, has gone into live translation, and it's just gone. It's just Google become the Godzilla and just crush and go, ha-ha. And next year, it's only a matter of time before they make this available for all Android phones. Yeah. And then the year after that, for all types of phones as well. And you just go, all right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I got to admit, the last thing I'm going to say is I'm curious to see how Apple is going to respond to this, right? Mm. Like, now that this competitor is coming and it's also less expensive and also has this live translation feature, what are they going to do next?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the thing is, Siri hasn't been that responsive to a whole bunch of stuff, you know? And like, even in the first story, we're looking at the levels of intelligence
Siri,
between
and falling behind. Yeah.
Siri used to be the pinnacle of things for a very long time. Mm. You know, when it was first released as your digital assistant, everybody was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then it just fell by the wayside.
It became a playing tool because everyone was just asking Siri, Siri, can you tell me a joke? Can you sing me a song?
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's using Siri for it. It's a learning method. So, yeah.
Mm. All right. We're going to take a short break, folks. We'll be back after this song. It is Ash with Burn Baby Burn. When we come back, we're talking a little bit about my cyber sale. Jeff will be full of that story in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Jeff Sandu.
So we're on to story three. I know Jeff wants to talk a little bit about my cyber sale. Jeff.
Yes, because I'm an avid shopper, apparently, according to all my colleagues here at BFM. Every single day.
There is something arriving at your desk almost every day.
Actually, there is one today, right. I think. Yeah, but there is one. I'm waiting one for today. But anyways, online shopping. It's a huge thing for Malaysians. And I love it because I hardly get out of the office during you know, during office hours. I don't have, even on weekends, I'm just caught up at home being with family. I don't have the luxury of going out and, you know, going to a mall. And
you want that good feeling of buying something.
And I want to buy something. And generally, online is a great way of just doing price comparison
right.
and finding a really good deal. And here I am giving you an heads up that next week, Monday till Friday, which is the October 9th till the October 13th, Malaysia will have its largest e-fair, which is PCOM is launching My Cyber Sale 2017. So it will start from the 9th till the 13th of October. So I got on the phone with Ganesh Banga. He's the chairman of the E-commerce Malaysia, which is a chapter within PCOM, to talk about this. So here's a short conversation that I had with him about the event and also what they're looking forward to the event and also, you know, where you can sort of participate being in the sale.
Sure. I mean, for My Cyber Sale has always been a merchant-driven program, right? And this year, we've actually hit more than 1,000 merchants compared to 600-plus merchants from last year. So that's an 80% increase from last year.
And this growth, is it just because there are more people now selling online instead of, you know, in the past 12 months, you've just suddenly seen a spur of you know, e-commerce players?
Yes, I think more and more businesses are, and SMEs are actually starting to see that it's important for them to participate in e-commerce or start selling online,
mm-hmm.
right, with the Digital Free Trade Zone and a number of other initiatives, as well as the government's National E-commerce Strategic Roadmap, right? So more and more of these businesses have actually started to start selling online. So this has, of course, increased the number of merchants that have participated in My Cyber Sale.
And what's unique about My Cyber Sale? Why should, you know, vendors be a part of this, you know, this Malaysian, this nationwide sale?
Sure. Especially for new merchants, right? So if you're a new merchant and you're selling stuff online, how do you actually attract people to buy stuff from you? You need to give good deals to your merchants, right? And My Cyber Sale gives you an opportunity to actually give those deals and we market those deals on behalf of the merchant.
And also, what sort of websites here are we talking about? Like, you know, where can we sort of experience the My Cyber Sale going on next week?
Sure. Our 1,000 over e-retailers are basically, they have their own web stores that sell products. So everything from beauty to lifestyle to fashion websites are participating. And we also have the large marketplaces as well. Lazada, Shopee are all participating in My Cyber Sale.
And Ganesh, you're chairman of the E-commerce Malaysia. It's a chapter within PCOM. And, you know, PCOM, you know, they've set up, they've got plans to make e-commerce an economic growth here in Malaysia. How's it coming along so far?
So it's pretty good. Of course, Cyber Sale is one of the first initiatives that E-commerce Malaysia is driving, and it's going to be our flagship event in the years to come. So from next year onwards, we're going to start having programs together with our partner associations. Right? For example, for Cyber Sale this year, we partnered with SME Association of Malaysia, we partnered with MRCA and also the Malaysian Wholesale Federation to actually get the merchants to start selling online. So we basically create the demand by getting merchants to sell online, utilizing the technologies of enablers for basically our members.
Mm.
And post that, of course, once merchants are reselling online, then they need consumers to know their site and to buy. And that's where Cyber Sale comes in to generate demand.
Do you think, you know, having events like My Cyber Sale will help to just, you know, is it to create the awareness? Is it to drive more sales? Is it to help more vendors to, you know, get the awareness of what the digital world could bring them? What's the objective here?
Sure, it's basically a catalyst for both supply and demand, right? In terms of supply, getting more merchants to sell online, using Cyber Sale as a flagship event to drive them to actually set up their own store and start selling online. And the second part is generating demand by getting consumers to actually see that they're great deals for them, crazy deals for them to actually use or to actually participate in by buying stuff or merchandise from the merchant.
And what's the common type of product that's normally been purchased online in the Malaysia perspective?
Yeah, so about health and beauty. So for last year's statistics, 20% actually came from health and beauty, and 17.5% of the orders actually came from fashion, followed by electronics, travel at 12.9%, and then entertainment at 8.1%, and then baby and kids at 6.3%. So Malaysians actually buy a lot of different stuff online.
And with this, though, does the e-commerce industry help to spur the nation's economy? And if so, how is it doing it?
Sure. E-commerce, of course, helps spur the economy by actually, it's actually the biggest growth driver today to retail, right? All retail is actually slowing down. Right, But new retail, which is e-commerce, is actually growing, right? So it's very important for our merchants, especially our SMEs, to actually participate in e-commerce so they can be part of the future growth of the country.
And what's what's the plans for, you know, 2018? It's just around the corner, even though it's a few months away.
Sure.
I'm sure there's, you know, there are some things lined up, and also, you know, after My Cyber Sale, what will happen within the e-commerce industry?
Sure, we started actually organizing My Cyber Sale this year in the mid of the year when it was handed over from MDEC to PCOM. Mm-hmm. From next year, we'll actually be starting the planning and preparation from early in the year, and we'll be organizing programs and reach out events to actually more of our other partner associations across the country, right? So we're actually planning to even come up with a PCOM e-commerce fair across the country to actually promote and encourage merchants to start selling online utilizing the technologies of our enablers.
Mm. And
our old PC fair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the good old days of going to you know, PWTC for, you know, PC fair, and, you know, gone are the days. It's disappeared now.
That's right. So PC fair actually was started by my predecessors in PCOM, right?
Mm.
And what they did was, at that time, PC penetration was relatively low, and the country needed a program to actually drive PC penetration, and that's why they started PC fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was an extremely successful event. And today, from next year onwards, we plan to do the PCOM e-commerce fair to actually help increase the penetration of our SMEs to sell online,
mm-hmm.
which we hope will be another successful event. So we'll be having PCOM e-commerce fairs across the country in partnership with our partner associations. And then post that, My Cyber Sale will be the flagship event to actually drive the sales to the merchants that start selling online through the PCOM e-commerce fair.
And we have a whole week of My Cyber Sale that will happen. What are you personally interested in looking out for and coming next week?
Sure. I think the crazy deals that we provided by our merchants will be pretty interesting for consumers. Right. At the same time, as the organizer of this event, we're hoping that we hit our GMV targets of 300 million ringgit this year.
And what was the target last year, and how is it compared to this year?
So last year it was 211 million of sales, and this year the target is 300 million. Of course, we have 80% increase in merchants, so I believe the 300 million is pretty achievable just based on the new merchants that we have signed up.
Yeah, so interesting there that, you know, last year they were at 211 million ringgit that they've achieved. This year they're looking at 300 million ringgit in that 1 week.
Have we got more spending power this year, do you feel?
Well, with 80% increase of merchants this time around, I think they would definitely... I believe that, you know, 300 million ringgit in that 1 week will be achieved, because there's a lot of movement in the e-commerce space. Mm. And there's so many players as well. I mean, Lazada itself, you know, and Shopee and Lelong and Muda. And these are the giant players. You've even got the smaller ones, you know, 11th Street, Fave, Hermo. These are players who are, you know, maybe not as giant as the Lazadas, but, you know, they have a lot of transactions. And then you've got the really small ones. And don't forget, you've got the Instagram, you know, stores, the Facebook stores, where, you know, they're not as big as, you know, some other players. Obviously, they may not be participating in Cyber Sale, but I will definitely be checking out all these sites next week. So if you're planning to do any shopping from now till Monday, hold it off.
Yes.
Put it on your wish list. And then go back and check it out on Monday, because that's when probably you may have a sale. Even if it's a 10% discount or it's free shipping, it's money saved.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you all need to save a bit of cash.
Yeah,
come on.
So you can go onto the website. Just search for My Cyber Sale 2017 and you will get it.
All right.
Nice.
Christine, spending money this weekend or next weekend?
I think I'm going to go with next weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm. All right, folks. We're going to take a small, short break. A little bit of The Clash coming up with Clampdown. If you've got anything you want to say, get on WhatsApp 087-89889. And of course, if you want to get us on Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. Insta Twitter. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Jeff Sandu.
So last year, we all got on the hype train for a particular TV series that was all over Netflix. We all loved it. Jeff has little models of them on his desk. Mm. Arvin has posters in his bedroom. Christine, I know you're a little bit obsessed with it, or were for a while. Stranger Things.
Yes, right. So in case you've been living in the upside down for the last few weeks, the second thing had to get it in. But the second season of Stranger Things is imminent. It will be premiering on Netflix on the 27th of October, and they have been releasing a lot of media tie-ins, as you do with a phenomenon, you know, media-wise like this. So at Google's event, they actually released also these AR stickers, kind of like Snapchat things where you could like pose with Eleven and stuff, and it was very cute. But iOS gets a much more compelling item, a full-on SNES-style demake of the show.
See, that, 8-bit retro games.
See, that shows the generation gap. Okay. She called it an SNES. SNES.
Okay. Point being, you know, just to be clear about what that is. So basically what it is it's a game, it's an iOS game. It's made by Bonus XP for Netflix. And it looks, it's like a, yeah, so it is pixelated, it's retro-inspired, it's a side-scroller. So
it looks very, very cool.
Yeah, cool looking. It puts you in the shoes of Hopper and the Stranger Things kids. You travel around the town of Hawkins, Indiana, and other locations from the show, dodging and battling enemies and solving puzzles to advance. And each character has their own unique abilities and things like that. So, you know, cool. And one of the things that I like about this is that it is actually free and there are no microtransactions as of yet. So no in-app purchases, no nothing. You are, however, tasked with collecting Eggos, like Eggo waffles and gnomes, and collecting these items will unlock more of the game, but you don't have to actually pay real money, which is very nice because they could have very easily worked in some in-app purchases. They didn't. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for that. I mean, it is clearly a promotional item designed to get you in the mood for season two, but I just love the fact that, you know, whoever is doing the Stranger Things marketing is just absolutely hitting the nail on the head here. This is exactly the kind of stuff that we want, right? Because all this retro stuff, all these 80s remakes have been coming up. You know, I mean, It has been out, and then Flatliners is coming out soon as well. So, I mean, this is one of those things where it's so on trend. It's so cute. The game itself has also been getting pretty decent reviews as well as a game. And you know,
10 hours of gameplay, 6 dungeons to explore, over 30 quests, and no in-app purchases, and it's free. That's really good.
I like the final paragraph of the story as well, though. You've obviously got some smarty pants who's coming and said, you should also know the fact of the show actually takes place in 1983, yet the SNES wasn't released until 1993. Right? Who cares, right? You're giving us a free game on iOS that looks like it could have been made.
Prince of Persia wasn't real, but it's a damn good game.
It is. That used to be one of my favorite games. Yeah, I love that game.
So if you like the Prince of Persia in the SNES or in just an 8-bit form on your emulator on your phone, definitely check out Stranger Things, the game.
I'm just going to have a quick look to see if it's on the worldwide app store or if it's just on the US app store, as most things are. And it is, in fact, on the Malaysian app store.
Everyone, stop your cars at the side of the road and download them now.
Yeah, be safe.
I'm doing it.
We're going to take a very short break. We're going to have some Alabama Shakes coming up with Hold On into Elastica with Car Song. When we come back, final story of the day is about how drone technology is helping scientific wildlife research in the Arctic and a few other places. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. Almost time for us to wrap up the show. But if you didn't know already, yesterday was in fact World Animal Day. So yesterday, Intel, the tech giants, they kind of showcased how a bunch of their tech has been used to tell us more about wildlife patterns and our own environment. So what they did, they talked about, you know, the emerging artificial intelligence and drone technologies to develop innovative methods to capture, process, analyze information about the behavior patterns of wildlife, what they can tell us about our environment. So they released a video where they were following this wildlife photographer, Ole Jürgen Lierden, and his organization, Polar Bears and Human Projects. And they used drones.
Polar Bears.
Yeah, they hovered over glaciers in the Arctic Ocean. They helped to locate polar bears and monitored their movements. But my favorite is this collaboration that they call Snotbot.
And
it's a project in...
I can't take the name seriously.
And it's a literal thing as well. So it's a collaboration with Parley for the Oceans and the Ocean Alliance to advance whale research that will help researchers better understand ocean health and broader impacts of climate change.
So tell me, Rich, the name Snotbot, why? Right.
Okay, so you know when a whale surfaces to the surface of the ocean and it blows out of its hole?
Uh-huh.
Okay. They have a drone that flies out over.
Catches it.
When it... Yeah. Yeah, when it blows out, the drone catches the stuff, the snot, that the whale blows out.
So it's a snot bot.
It's a snot bot, yeah. So that stuff that it captures is rich in biological data. It includes DNA, stress and pregnancy hormones, viruses, bacteria, toxins, and those samples are then sent off to researchers and ships at a safe distance from the whales, we might add.
Wow.
And then that data, of course, is analyzed by machines running learning algorithms, and they can help identify a particular whale through pattern recognition, assess its health in real time using techniques like volumetric measurements. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have this wonderful idea of these... you were talking about, you know, drones in public before and how much of an annoyance they are and all that kind of horrible sounds. Yeah. But that you've got this huge whale who wouldn't even notice this thing was there.
BBC is also going to be launching Blue Planet 2.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And if you've seen the video on YouTube and... let alone the soundtrack. Soundtrack's really good. It's from Hans Zimmer and Radiohead, by the way.
Nice.
However, the video quality of Blue Planet 2, it makes you just go, wow.
Right.
And I'm a diver, and I really miss the ocean. And honestly, though, the ocean is just a place where we shouldn't bother doing anything in the sense of development. And like, they're fine without us humans. We are the ones who are destroying them. But it's so good to see technology is now being used to help them.
And it's got the best name ever.
Snotbot.
I mean, where I'm at is like, I didn't even know that you could get that much information from snot. I just thought that snot was snot very useful.
Oh, dear.
Now I think I've been proven wrong by Snotbot.
But about the Snotbot, I'm very sure they have like a camera built into the Snotbot that can record video, and the images that you would get from capturing these large whales, doing their thing in the ocean,
and
it is such a beautiful imagery that really just it's one of those things where it's really nice to just take a step back and enjoy nature at its best.
Yeah,
it's really sad when I went diving for a few places and you see a lot of things are dead, the corals are dead, and plastic bags, turtles eating up straws that has been thrown over by us humans, and it is just a disheartening thing to see. But when you look at these videos that in places that are now very hard to access because it's really difficult, it's really far, because these animals have nowhere to go but to go at the hardest places where humans are a lot more difficult for us to go. But it's when you get a view of how these creatures live, and it you would then realize how much we've destroyed planet Earth. And also great story, Snotbot, excellent stuff. Also watch Blue Planet 2 when it comes out very soon.
Agreed. Right. We're going to run through the questions we covered just in case you missed any part of this show. Jeff started off with
so I did basically a story on Google's AI is apparently not as smart as a 6-year-old in the IQ test.
And then following on with another Google story about their newly released Pixel Buds that do real-time language translation.
And then I had a story Did I have a story? Yes, I had a story, of course.
Did I have a story?
Yeah, so I had a story on my cyber. So I was doing online shopping while we were talking
about
it, right?
Exactly.
That is why. That's why I was like, "What story? It's not a story. It's just a normal thing. I do it every day. And my cyber sale happening next week."
Yeah, and then I talked about how the Stranger Things hype has reached SNES levels with the retro style demake for the iOS.
Take that, Rich.
Finishing off, of course, with the Snotbot. Sorry. Anyway, that has been the show for today. But do not go anywhere. Of course, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the app from the Apple App Store and from Google Play and listen to it later. If your car has CarPlay enabled as well, that also works. But anyway, after the 1 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill replay. It is with George Varughese. He's the president of the Malaysian Bar. Now, there's no rest for the newly elected Malaysian Bar president as he takes on the mantle of an institution accused of being politicized. Upon his election, the new president vowed to work with the government to revive the National Legal Aid Foundation to assist the needy. The Breakfast Grill caught up with him and spoke about the progress he's made, as well as other issues concerning the judiciary and legislative matters in this country. Right, it's time for us to wrap up. Of course, we will be back tomorrow, same time, same place, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.